Thank you for being a valued supporter of the 10X Podcast Group. Your dedication means the world to us. Today, we bring you a gripping tale titled Sinister Reflections. Your continued support and subscription fuel our passion for storytelling, and we deeply appreciate every moment you spend with us. So, without further ado, let's dive into today's compelling narrative. Chapter 1, The Mask of Compassion. The office of Dr. Miranda Wolf exuded a calming warmth, a sanctuary of soft lighting and neutral tones. Shelves of carefully curated books on human psychology lined the walls, their spines unbroken, more for effect than use. A faint scent of lavender wafted through the air, engineered to relax her patients the moment they walked in. Miranda sat across from Samantha Ortega, a woman in her late 20s with hollowed cheeks and trembling hands. Samantha's eyes darted nervously around the room, avoiding Miranda's piercing gaze. Miranda leaned forward, her voice soothing, but with an undertone of command. "You're safe here, Samantha. This is a space where you can let it all out. No judgment, just healing," Miranda said, her lips curling into a disarming smile. Samantha hesitated before speaking. I can't stop thinking about it. About what I did. About how I could've should've stopped it." Miranda tilted her head slightly, a calculated gesture that made her seem empathetic. "And what do you feel you should have done differently?" The question was open-ended, designed to let the patient spiral into their thoughts. Samantha broke down, tears streaming as she recounted her past, an incident involving her brother's overdose while she had been too high to notice. The guilt clung to her like a second skin. "I should have saved him," Samantha sobbed. "I should have been there." Miranda waited for the sobs to subside, then leaned in closer. "Maybe you couldn't save him then, but you can honor him now." Samantha blinked, the weight of her guilt shifting slightly under the suggestion. "Honor him? How?" Miranda's voice dropped to a whisper, intimate and persuasive. "By ensuring that no one else suffers because of the same demons. There are people out there responsible for these tragedies. People who exploit others' pain. You can stop them." Samantha froze, the words sinking in. Miranda's suggestion felt like salvation, a purpose to redeem her failures. But beneath her comforting demeanor, Miranda's eyes gleamed with something darker, a satisfaction at seeing the seed planted. Later that evening, Miranda reviewed her notes, though the exercise was more about indulging her control than professional diligence. Each patient was a puzzle, and she had mastered the art of assembling the pieces to fit her needs. Samantha Ortega was no different, a pawn in a larger, intricate game Miranda had been playing for years. Her phone buzzed. It was a text from one of her long-standing patients, a city councilman embroiled in a bribery scandal. "Need advice. Urgent." Miranda smirked. She enjoyed watching powerful men squirm under her thumb. Her advice often came at a price, a debt they didn't even realize they owed until it was too late. Across town, Detective Ethan Hayes sat at his cluttered desk in the precinct, staring at the photographs of a brutal crime scene. Samantha Ortega's actions, as a pawn under Miranda's manipulation, had already begun rippling through the city, though Ethan had no idea yet how interconnected it all was. "What do we have so far?" he asked his partner, Julian Knox, who handed him a file. "Suspect confessed," Knox said. "It's cut and dry, but the whole thing feels off." Ethan flipped through the file. The suspect was incoherent during questioning, ranting about redeeming herself and needing to fix what she'd done. Something gnawed at him, a sense that this wasn't the end of the story. "I'm going to dig deeper," Ethan said. Knox raised an eyebrow. "The captain won't like you going off script again. Just saying." Ethan ignored him, focused instead on the threads that didn't add up. He didn't know it yet, but his pursuit of the truth would lead him into a confrontation with a mind far more dangerous than any he'd faced before. Chapter 2, Seeds of Deceit. Samantha Ortega couldn't shake the words Dr. Miranda Wolf had spoken. They replayed in her mind like a haunting melody, weaving themselves into the fabric of her thoughts until they no longer felt like suggestions but truths. "You can stop them." Samantha sat in her dimly lit apartment, staring at a worn photograph of her brother. His youthful face beamed at her from the picture, a snapshot of a time when life hadn't yet crushed them under its weight. A bottle of cheap whiskey sat half empty on the table, her trembling hand hovering over it before she pushed it away. She had promised Miranda she wouldn't drink, and though she wasn't sure why, she wanted to honor that promise. Her phone buzzed, breaking her reverie. It was a message from an unknown number. They deserve to pay. Be strong. Be brave. Samantha stared at the message, her heart pounding. She didn't need to ask who it was from. Miranda always had a way of making her feel seen, even when she wasn't in the room. The words ignited something in Samantha, a dangerous mix of guilt, anger, and determination. Dr. Miranda Wolf, the chess master at work. Miranda sat in her office, her demeanor calm and collected as her next patient entered. Trevor Langston, a high-profile corporate attorney, was a man burdened by secrets. He had come to Miranda months ago seeking solace from the pressure of his double life, a life filled with illicit affairs and quiet betrayals. "Trevor," Miranda said warmly, gesturing for him to sit. "How have you been?" Trevor rubbed the back of his neck, his nerves fraying. "Not great. The deal I'm working on is falling apart. My wife is asking questions and I feel like everything's slipping through my fingers." Miranda tilted her head, a gesture of practiced empathy. "And how does that make you feel, Trevor? Like I'm losing control?" Miranda's smile was almost imperceptible. Control, her favorite word. "Perhaps what you need isn't more control, but less. Sometimes, surrendering to the chaos allows us to find clarity." Trevor frowned, confused but intrigued. Miranda leaned forward, her voice soft yet commanding. "You've spent your life playing by rules that weren't designed for you. What if just this once you rewrote them?" Her words were a riddle, a seed of manipulation planted in fertile ground. Trevor left the session uneasy, but unable to dismiss the idea. Miranda's influence had taken root, as it always did. Detective Ethan Hayes, the uneasy pattern. Ethan sat in the precinct's dimly lit records room, surrounded by case files that had no apparent connection. Yet, something gnawed at him, a hunch that wouldn't let go. Each of the recent crimes he was investigating seemed bizarre in its own way, as if the perpetrators had been driven by something other than their own volition. "What are you still doing here?" Julian Knox appeared in the doorway, arms crossed. "You're going to burn yourself out." Ethan waved him off. "Something's not right about these cases. They all feel orchestrated." Knox sighed, stepping closer. "You're chasing ghosts, Ethan. The Ortega case is closed," she confessed. "Let it go." But Ethan couldn't. There was something about Samantha's confession that didn't sit well with him. Her words during the interview had been too rehearsed, too deliberate, like she was reciting lines from a script. He flipped through another file, his mind racing. A suspect in a previous case, a businessman who had violently attacked a competitor, had made similar cryptic statements during his confession. "She told me I could fix it." At the time, it had seemed like the ramblings of a guilty mind. Now it felt like a thread worth pulling. The first pawn falls. Samantha stood outside the dimly lit building, clutching a can of gasoline. Her breath came in short, ragged gasps as her mind waged war with itself. Miranda's words were a mantra in her head. "You can stop them. You can make a difference." The building was the headquarters of a small pharmaceutical company, one Samantha blamed for her brother's death. They had pushed opioids into vulnerable communities, destroying lives for profit. Miranda had helped Herb see this truth. Or at least, that's what Samantha believed. As she doused the front steps with gasoline, her hands shook. Tears streamed down her face, but she forced herself to keep going. She struck a match, the flame illuminating her tear-streaked face for a brief moment before she threw it onto the steps. The explosion wasn't large, but it was enough to engulf the front of the building in flames. Samantha stumbled back, her heart pounding as she watched the fire consume the place she had come to see as the embodiment of her guilt. For the first time in years, she felt a twisted sense of relief. She didn't know that Miranda was watching her from a distance, a satisfied smile playing on her lips. Another pawn had moved, and the game was just beginning. The next step. The next morning, Ethan stood outside the smoldering remains of the pharmaceutical building. His jaw tightened as he took in the scene, his gut screaming that this wasn't just an act of random arson. The suspect, a young woman named Samantha Ortega, had already been apprehended nearby, her confession eerily similar to the one that had been haunting Ethan for weeks. Another open and shut case, Knox said, clapping Ethan on the shoulder. But Ethan wasn't so sure. There was a puppet master at play, he could feel it. And he wasn't going to stop until he found them. Chapter 3, Web of Intrigue. The sterile interrogation room was quiet except for the soft hum of the overhead fluorescent light. Samantha Ortega sat at the table, her hands cuffed and trembling. Her disheveled appearance only amplified the chaos in her eyes. Detective Ethan Hayes stood across from her, arms folded, watching her with the precision of a hawk. "You said you wanted to save people, Samantha," Ethan said, his voice calm but probing. "But instead you burned down a building. People could have died." Samantha shook her head violently, tears spilling down her face. "No, I wasn't trying to hurt anyone. I just wanted to stop them. They killed my brother. They're the reason he's gone." Ethan leaned in, lowering his voice to a near whisper. "Who told you that? Who put that idea in your head?" Her eyes darted toward the one-way mirror, then back to Ethan. Her lips quivered as though she was on the verge of saying something, but couldn't bring herself to. "No one. I just knew." He didn't believe her. There was something off about her tone, a rehearsed quality that made him suspect she wasn't entirely in control of her story. Ethan straightened and slid a glass of water toward her. "Samantha, you're not a bad person, but someone's using you. If you don't tell me who it is, more people are going to get hurt. Do you want that?" Samantha clutched the edges of the table, her knuckles turning white. "You wouldn't understand. She helped me." Ethan's heart skipped a beat. "She? Who are you talking about?" Samantha's head jerked up, her expression suddenly defiant. "No one. Leave me alone. I don't need your help." Ethan sighed, stepping out of the room. Outside, Detective Julian Knox was waiting, his arms crossed. "She's cracked," Knox said. "And it's not surprising, considering what she's been through." "She's not cracked," Ethan snapped. "She's manipulated." Knox raised an eyebrow. "By who? Some invisible boogeyman?" "Ethan, I know you like to dig, but sometimes the simplest explanation is the right one. She's guilty. Case closed." Ethan ignored him. His instincts told him there was more to this story, and he wasn't about to let it go. Dr. Miranda Wolfe, a master of shadows. Miranda sat in her sunlit office, her face a mask of serenity, as her latest patient poured out their soul. Trevor Langston was unraveling, his voice strained as he spoke about the mounting pressures in his life. His wife was suspicious of his late nights, his firm was threatening to cut ties with him, and he felt like he was drowning. "I don't know what to do anymore," Trevor said, burying his face in his hands. "I've tried everything." Miranda leaned forward, her expression one of perfect concern. "Perhaps the problem isn't what you're doing, Trevor. It's what you're not doing." He looked up at her, confusion etched across his face. "What do you mean?" Miranda's voice softened, becoming almost hypnotic. "You've built your life around pleasing others, your wife, your firm, even society. But have you ever stopped to ask yourself what you want?" Trevor hesitated, the question disarming him. I guess not." "There's your answer," Miranda said, a faint smile tugging at her lips. "Sometimes, to take control of your life, you have to take risks. Bold moves can lead to freedom." Trevor nodded slowly, her words planting themselves firmly in his mind. Miranda watched him leave, knowing that her seeds of manipulation had taken root. In time, Trevor would act on her suggestions, and she would add another thread to her growing web. Ethan digs deeper. Back at the precinct, Ethan pored over Samantha's case file, his desk a chaotic mess of papers and photographs. He highlighted key phrases from her confession. "She told me I could make it right. I wanted to fix what I did." The language was eerily similar to statements made by other suspects in unrelated cases. A corporate executive who had embezzled millions. A stay-at-home mom who had poisoned her neighbor. A teenager who had vandalized a local church. In each case, the perpetrators spoke of an unnamed figure who had given them clarity. Ethan's pulse quickened as he opened another file. The corporate executive had been seeing a therapist before his arrest. A woman named Dr. Miranda Wolfe. He leaned back in his chair, the pieces of the puzzle slowly clicking into place. He pulled up Miranda's profile on his computer, studying her photo. She looked innocuous enough, mid-30s professional, with an air of calm authority. But there was something in her eyes that unsettled him, a coldness that didn't match her pleasant demeanor. "Who are you really, Dr. Wolf?" Ethan muttered under his breath. Miranda's countermove. Miranda was sitting at her desk when she received an email notification. She opened it, her lips curling into a smile as she read the subject line. Inquiry from Detective Ethan Hayes. She had been expecting this. Ethan's obsession with uncovering the truth made him predictable, and Miranda had no intention of letting him derail her plans. She composed a response, her tone warm and professional, inviting him to visit her office for a conversation. As she hit send, she leaned back in her chair, her mind already formulating her next move. Ethan was a threat, but threats could be neutralized. All she needed was to find his weakness and exploit it. A brewing storm. Ethan arrived home late that night, his mind buzzing with questions. His estranged wife, Natalie, was waiting for him, her arms crossed. "You're late again," she said, her tone sharp. "I'm working a case," Ethan replied, his voice weary. "You're always working a case," Natalie shot back. "What about us, Ethan? Or have you already decided this marriage isn't worth saving?" Ethan closed his eyes, guilt washing over him. He wanted to fix things with Natalie, but his obsession with the case was consuming him. "I'm trying, Nat. I am. But this case. It's always about the case," she interrupted. "Maybe you should ask yourself what's really more important." Ethan didn't respond. He knew she was right, but he couldn't let go, not now. Not when he was so close to uncovering the truth. As Natalie stormed off, Ethan sat down at the kitchen table, rubbing his temples. He didn't notice the text message that had just arrived on his phone. It was from an unknown number. "You're in over your head, detective." Chapter 4, Shadows of Doubt. Detective Ethan Hayes leaned against his desk at the precinct, staring at the text on his phone. The words blurred in his vision, but their meaning was crystal clear. "You're in over your head, detective." He quickly traced the number, but as expected, it was unregistered, another dead end. Whoever sent it wanted him rattled, and it was working. He tossed his phone on the desk, running a hand through his hair. "Rough morning." Julian Knox's voice jolted Ethan out of his thoughts. Ethan looked up to see his partner with a steaming cup of coffee in hand, his expression a mix of curiosity and skepticism. "Just piecing things together," Ethan muttered, slipping his phone into his pocket. Knox leaned on the desk beside him. "You're still hung up on this Wolf angle, aren't you?" "She's connected, Julian," Ethan said, his voice firm. "Too many of her patients are involved in these bizarre cases. It's not a coincidence." Knox sipped his coffee, unconvinced. "Therapists deal with troubled people all the time. Maybe it's just proximity to chaos, not causation." Ethan slammed a file on the desk, startling Knox. "Look at this. Samantha Ortega's confession matches the wording of another suspect, a corporate exec who saw Wolf before embezzling millions. It's not proximity. She's in their heads." Knox hesitated, his skeptical mask slipping for a moment. "Okay, let's say she's more involved than she should be. How do you prove that? All you've got is a hunch." Ethan opened his mouth to respond, but the captain's voice boomed from across the room. "Hayes, Knox, my office. The warning." Captain Cynthia Harper's office was small but radiated authority. Her sharp gaze shifted between the two detectives as they stepped inside. "Close the door," she said, her tone clipped. Ethan obeyed, his nerves already on edge. Harper leaned back in her chair, folding her arms. "Hayes, I've been hearing things. You're digging into this Dr. Wolf. And frankly, it's making people uncomfortable." Ethan frowned. "Uncomfortable? Captain, she's connected to multiple cases. Do you have evidence?" Harper interrupted, her voice sharp. Ethan hesitated. "Not yet, but..." "Then drop it," she said firmly. "You're chasing shadows. Wolf is a respected professional in this city. Without concrete evidence, you're jeopardizing not just this case but your reputation. And this department's." Ethan clenched his jaw, frustration boiling inside him. "Captain, I know I'm onto something." Harper's gaze softened, but only slightly. "I know you're good at what you do, Hayes. But obsession can cloud judgment. Don't let it." As the detectives left her office, Knox glanced at Ethan. "That sounded a lot like a warning." "It was," Ethan muttered. "But I'm not backing down. Dr. Wolf's trap." Miranda sat in her office, her serene mask firmly in place, as she reviewed her upcoming appointments. The email from Detective Hayes sat unopened in her inbox, but she didn't need to read it. She already knew what it said. A request for an interview, couched in professionalism but dripping with suspicion. She glanced at her phone, a private line reserved for her most personal communications. She dialed a number, waiting as the call connected. "It's me," she said softly when the other person answered. A gruff voice responded. "What do you need?" Miranda's tone was smooth, almost hypnotic. "Detective Ethan Hayes is becoming intrusive. I need you to handle him." The voice on the other end hesitated. "Handle him how?" "Nothing drastic," Miranda said, her lips curving into a faint smile. "Just shake him up. Make him question himself. I'll take care of the rest." A disturbing encounter. That evening, Ethan walked to his car in the precinct parking lot, his mind still racing with thoughts of Miranda Wolf. As he reached for the door handle, he froze. The faint sound of footsteps echoed behind him. "Can I help you?" he called out, turning sharply. A man in a dark hoodie emerged from the shadows, his face obscured. "Detective Hayes?" Ethan's hand instinctively moved to his holster. "Who's asking?" The man took a step closer, his movements slow and deliberate. "You should stop asking questions about Dr. Wolf. For your own good." Ethan's blood ran cold. "You threatening me?" "Not a threat," the man said, his voice eerily calm. "A warning. She's not someone you want to cross." Before Ethan could react, the man turned and disappeared into the night, leaving behind only the sound of his retreating footsteps. Ethan stood there, his heart pounding. Whoever that man was, he wasn't acting alone. Miranda Wolf's web of influence was larger and more dangerous than he had imagined. Fractures at home. Ethan arrived home to find the lights off, the house eerily quiet. He called out for Natalie, but there was no response. His stomach twisted as he stepped into the living room, where a single lamp illuminated a folded piece of paper on the coffee table. He picked it up, recognizing Natalie's handwriting immediately. "Ethan, I can't do this anymore. You're consumed by your work, and it's destroying us. I'm taking some time to think. Don't try to call me." The weight of her words hit him like a freight train. He sank onto the couch, his head in his hands. His marriage, already on thin ice, was now hanging by a thread. As he sat there, his phone buzzed. He glanced at the screen, expecting another warning text, but it was worse. It was an email from Miranda Wolf. The calm before the storm. Miranda's email was polite, professional, and unnervingly inviting. "Detective Hayes, I understand you wish to speak with me regarding my patients. I'm happy to assist in any way I can. Please let me know a time that works for you. Sincerely, Dr. Miranda Wolf." Ethan stared at the screen, his instincts screaming at him that this was a trap. But he also knew he couldn't back down. If Miranda was taunting him, it meant she thought she had the upper hand. Ethan decided to meet her, on his terms. He would be prepared for whatever she had planned. As he hit reply, a storm was brewing, one that would test the limits of his resolve and his sanity. Chapter 5, Cracks in the Mirror. Detective Ethan Hayes sat at his desk in the precinct, staring at his monitor as Miranda Wolf's email glowed on the screen. Her words were designed to disarm him, polite, professional, and devoid of any trace of guilt. Yet, every fiber of his being screamed that she was toying with him. The cursor blinked as Ethan hesitated. Finally, he typed a short response. "Dr. Wolf, I appreciate your willingness to cooperate. I'll come by your office tomorrow at noon. Detective Ethan Hayes." He hit send, then leaned back in his chair. The meeting was set. Now all he had to do was prepare. The web tightens. Meanwhile, Miranda sat in her office, a serene expression on her face, as she wrapped up a session with Trevor Langston. The corporate attorney was visibly agitated, his shoulders hunched and his eyes darting nervously. "I've done everything you suggested," Trevor said, his voice trembling. "But it's not enough. They're still coming after me." Miranda tilted her head, her gaze steady. "Then you must act decisively, Trevor. You've allowed others to control you for too long. It's time to reclaim your power." Trevor stared at her, the seed of her suggestion taking root. "What are you saying? What should I do?" Miranda leaned forward, her voice soft but firm. "You already know the answer, Trevor. You've always known. The question is whether you have the courage to follow through." He nodded slowly, his resolve hardening. As he left her office, Miranda allowed herself a small, satisfied smile. Another piece of her puzzle was in place. Her phone buzzed. She glanced at the screen and saw Ethan's response to her email. Perfect. The game was unfolding exactly as she had planned. The meeting. The next day, Ethan arrived at Miranda's office precisely at noon. The building was immaculate, a pristine facade that exuded professionalism and trust. But Ethan felt the underlying chill of deception as he stepped into the waiting room. A cheerful receptionist greeted him. "Detective Hayes, Dr. Wolf is expecting you. Please follow me." Ethan followed the receptionist down a quiet hallway lined with soothing art and neutral tones. He couldn't shake the feeling that everything about this place was designed to lower defenses. Miranda was seated at her desk when Ethan entered. She rose to greet him, her smile warm and inviting. "Detective Hayes, thank you for coming. Please have a seat." Ethan took the chair across from her, his expression guarded. "Thank you for agreeing to meet with me, Dr. Wolf." "Of course," Miranda said smoothly. "How can I help?" Ethan wasted no time. "Several of your patients have been involved in recent crimes. I'm trying to understand if there's a connection." Miranda's expression didn't falter. "Detective, I assure you that any actions my patients take outside this office are their own. My role is to provide guidance and support." Ethan studied her, searching for cracks in her composure. "And what kind of guidance might lead someone like Samantha Ortega to burn down a building?" Miranda's lips parted in surprise, or what appeared to be surprise. "Samantha? Oh, detective, you misunderstand. Samantha has been through significant trauma. If she acted out, it's a tragedy, but I'm afraid I can't comment further. Patient confidentiality prevents me from discussing her case." "Convenient," Ethan said, his tone sharp. "But what if those actions were influenced by something, or someone in this office?" Miranda's eyes narrowed slightly, a glimmer of steel beneath her polished facade. "Are you accusing me of something, detective?" Ethan leaned forward. "I'm saying too many of your patients are leaving here with ideas that lead them to commit crimes. Ideas that don't feel like their own." Miranda held his gaze unflinching. "And I'm saying that you're grasping at straws, detective. Therapy is a vulnerable process. Patients often misinterpret guidance in ways that we can't predict or control. To suggest otherwise is not only unfair, but defamatory." The room grew tense, the air thick with unspoken challenges. Ethan knew she was lying, but he had no proof yet. A new player. After the meeting, Ethan returned to the precinct, frustrated but more determined than ever. Knox was waiting for him, leaning against Ethan's desk with a skeptical look. "Well," Knox asked, "how'd it go?" "She's good," Ethan admitted. "Too good. She's hiding something, but I can't pin her down." Knox shook his head. "Maybe because there's nothing to pin." "Hayes, you're going down a rabbit hole. The captain's already on your case about this." Ethan ignored him, pulling up files on his computer. "I need more. Something solid to tie her to these crimes." Knox sighed. "And what happens when you hit a dead end? Because you're putting a lot on the line here. Your career, your sanity, maybe even your marriage." The mention of his marriage stung, but Ethan didn't respond. He couldn't. He was too far in to stop now. Miranda strikes back. Later that evening, Miranda sat in her home office, sipping a glass of red wine as she reviewed her notes. Her encounter with Ethan had been expected and perfectly executed. She knew he wouldn't back down, but that was part of the game. A good opponent only made the victory sweeter. She picked up her phone and dialed a number. When the person on the other end answered, her voice was low and commanding. "It's time to escalate. I need you to send him a message, one he can't ignore." The warning escalates. Ethan was driving home when his phone buzzed. He glanced at the screen and saw a text from an unknown number. "You should have walked away." Before he could respond, a loud pop shattered the night. His car swerved as the back tire blew out, sending him skidding to the side of the road. Heart pounding, Ethan jumped out to inspect the damage. The tire was shredded, and a thin metal spike lay nearby, a deliberate act. Ethan scanned the darkness, his instincts on high alert. Someone was watching him, he was sure of it. As he crouched by the car, his phone buzzed again. "Last chance, detective. Stay away from her." Ethan clenched his fists, anger surging through him. Whoever this was, they had crossed a line. And now, he was more determined than ever to bring Miranda Wolfe down. Chapter 6, The Puppet Master's Hand. Ethan Hayes sat in his car on the side of the desolate road, staring at the text on his phone. Last chance, detective. Stay away from her. His breath came in short bursts, adrenaline surging through his veins. He glanced into the rearview mirror, half expecting to see someone watching him from the shadows. But there was nothing. The attack on his car wasn't just a warning, it was a challenge. Someone wanted him to back down, and that only fueled his resolve. He made a call to Knox, his partner. I need a tow and a ride back to the precinct, Ethan said, his voice tight with anger. What happened? Knox asked. I'll explain later. Just get here. As he waited, Ethan's mind raced. Miranda Wolfe had taken the first shot in their game, but she didn't know who she was dealing with. He wouldn't back down, not now, not ever. Miranda's next move. Miranda Wolfe's office was quiet as she prepared for her last session of the day. The blinds were drawn, the soft hum of her diffuser filling the space with lavender and chamomile. She leaned back in her chair, replaying her earlier interaction with Ethan in her mind. He had been sharp, persistent, and irritatingly intuitive. But he was also human, vulnerable, flawed, and easily manipulated. Her next patient, Natalie Hayes, stepped into the room, her expression weary. Miranda smiled warmly, gesturing for her to sit. Natalie, Miranda began, her voice soothing. How have you been? Natalie sighed, her shoulders slumping. Not great. Ethan and I had another fight. I feel like he's slipping further away every day. Miranda tilted her head slightly, her gaze empathetic. It must be exhausting to carry the weight of a failing relationship. Natalie nodded, her eyes brimming with tears. I don't know what to do. I've tried everything. But it's like he's obsessed with his work. There's no room for me anymore. Miranda leaned forward, her voice a delicate whisper. Sometimes, Natalie, the hardest truth is that we can't save someone who doesn't want to be saved. Perhaps it's time to focus on yourself. Your happiness, your freedom. Natalie hesitated, Miranda's words settling over her like a warm blanket. Do you think I should leave him? Miranda's smile was faint but deliberate. I think you already know the answer. You just need the courage to act. As Natalie left the session, Miranda watched her go with satisfaction. The cracks in Ethan's foundation were growing, and Miranda intended to exploit every single one. The unraveling begins. Back at the precinct, Ethan paced in the conference room as Knox sat at the table, watching him warily. Let me get this straight, Knox said. Your tire blows out, you find a spike, and then you get a threatening text. You think it's her? I don't think it's her, Ethan snapped. She's pulling the strings, Knox. She knows I'm onto her, and now she's trying to scare me off. Knox rubbed his temples. Ethan, this is crazy. You don't have any solid evidence against Wolfe. What you have is a gut feeling and a string of coincidences. Coincidences. Ethan slammed his fist on the table. Her patients are committing crimes, speaking in the same rehearsed phrases, and now someone's sabotaging my car. How is that a coincidence? Knox sighed. Even if you're right, what's the play here? You can't just storm into her office and accuse her. She's too smart for that. Ethan ran a hand through his hair, his frustration boiling over. We need to dig deeper. Surveillance, wiretaps, whatever it takes. Knox leaned back, skeptical but unwilling to abandon his partner entirely. You're walking a tightrope, Ethan. One wrong move, and you're the one who's going down. A deadly game. That night, Ethan sat in his apartment, poring over case files. The pattern was undeniable. Every patient of Miranda's who had committed a crime had previously exhibited no violent or criminal tendencies. Each case involved a dramatic shift in behavior shortly after beginning therapy with her. His phone buzzed, and he hesitated before answering. It was Natalie. Hey, he said cautiously. There was a long pause before she spoke. Ethan, I think we need to talk. He leaned back, closing his eyes. Natalie, I know I've been distant, but things are complicated right now. I'm working on something. That's the problem, Ethan, she interrupted, her voice trembling. It's always the job. Always something more important than us. Natalie, please, he said, his tone softening. Just give me time. She sighed. I don't think I can. I saw Dr. Wolfe today, and she helped me see that maybe it's time to move on. Ethan's blood ran cold. Dr. Wolf? You're seeing her now. Yes, Natalie said. She's been wonderful, Ethan. She's helping me find clarity. Clarity? The word echoed in his mind, the same word his suspects had used. His heart pounded as he realized the full extent of Miranda's manipulation. She wasn't just targeting him. She was dismantling his life from the inside out. The confrontation. The next morning, Ethan stormed into Miranda's office without an appointment. The receptionist protested, but he pushed past her, his anger barely contained. Miranda looked up from her desk, unfazed by his sudden appearance. Detective Hayes, what a surprise! Ethan slammed his hands on the desk, leaning in close. Stay away from my wife. Miranda's expression didn't change. I'm afraid I don't know what you're talking about. Don't play games with me, Ethan growled. I know what you're doing, using her to get to me. It ends now. Miranda leaned back in her chair, her composure unshaken. Detective, I'm a therapist. My only goal is to help my patients. If Natalie feels she's found clarity in her sessions, that's hardly my doing. Ethan's fists clenched, but he forced himself to take a step back. I'm going to prove what you are, Miranda. And when I do, your whole empire will come crashing down. Miranda's smile was faint but chilling. Good luck, detective. I do hope you find what you're looking for. A new ally. As Ethan left the office, his phone buzzed with an incoming call. It was Samantha Ortega's lawyer. Detective Hayes, the lawyer said. My client has requested to speak with you. She says she has information that might help your investigation. Ethan's grip on his phone tightened. Samantha had been silent since her arrest, refusing to cooperate. If she was finally ready to talk, it could be the break he needed. I'll be there, Ethan said, his voice firm. As he drove toward the detention center, a sense of unease settled over him. Miranda's web was vast and intricate, but if Samantha had answers, it could be the thread that unraveled everything. Chapter 7 Twisted Loyalties. The detention center loomed in the distance as Detective Ethan Hayes parked his car and stepped out into the cool morning air. The metallic scent of the rain-soaked pavement mixed with his unease, creating an almost palpable tension. Samantha Ortega was his chance, perhaps his only chance, to gain insight into the labyrinth of Miranda Wolf's manipulations. Ethan walked through the sterile hallways of the facility, escorted by a guard. The sound of their footsteps echoed ominously. When they reached the small interrogation room, the guard unlocked the door and stepped aside. Inside, Samantha sat at a metal table, her hands cuffed in front of her. Her once darting eyes now seemed hollow, her demeanor subdued. Yet there was a flicker of something in her expression as she looked up and met Ethan's gaze. Regret, fear, and something else he couldn't quite place. Samantha, Ethan greeted as he took a seat across from her. I appreciate you agreeing to talk. She hesitated before speaking, her voice barely above a whisper. I didn't know who else to turn to. I feel like I've been living in someone else's nightmare. Ethan leaned forward. Tell me everything. What happened with Dr. Wolf? Samantha flinched at the mention of Miranda's name, her hands trembling slightly. It started so innocently. She made me feel understood, like I wasn't alone. She said I could make things right. That I could honor my brother by fighting the people who profited from his pain. Fighting how? Ethan pressed. Her voice cracked as she continued. She didn't tell me to burn down that building. Not directly, but she planted the idea. She said things like, justice requires action, and true redemption comes through sacrifice. It felt like she was guiding me without saying it outright. Ethan's jaw tightened. And you believed her? Samantha nodded, her eyes filling with tears. I trusted her. She made me feel like I had a purpose. But after what I did, I realized I wasn't myself anymore. It's like she got into my head and twisted everything, connecting the dots. Ethan's heart raced as Samantha's words confirmed his suspicions. Miranda wasn't outright instructing her patients to commit crimes. She was manipulating them into thinking it was their own idea. This wasn't just unethical, it was diabolical. Samantha, Ethan said carefully, did Dr. Wolf ever suggest anything about me? Did she mention my name? Samantha looked down, avoiding his gaze. Not at first. But after the fire, she started talking about how people wouldn't understand what I did. She said the police would twist it, that they'd try to make me look like a monster. Ethan felt a chill run down his spine. Miranda had been anticipating his moves long, before he'd even connected her to the crimes. And then, Samantha hesitated. She said you wouldn't stop until I was destroyed. She made it sound like you were the enemy. Ethan's hands clenched into fists under the table. Miranda's reach was deeper than he'd feared. She wasn't just targeting her patients, she was weaponizing them against him. A fractured alliance. Later that day, Ethan returned to the precinct, his mind racing with possibilities. He needed Knox on his side more than ever. But his partner's skepticism had been growing with each passing day. "Knox," Ethan said as he approached his partner's desk. "I talked to Samantha Ortega. Wolf's manipulating her patients, planting ideas in their heads." Knox looked up from his paperwork, his expression weary. "And you have proof of this?" Ethan hesitated. "Not yet. But Samantha's confession lines up with everything we've seen so far. Wolf's not giving direct orders. She's using her patients' vulnerabilities against them." Knox sighed, leaning back in his chair. "Ethan, I want to believe you, but this is thin. You're basing everything on the words of a confessed arsonist." "She's not lying," Ethan snapped. "You know it, and I know it." Knox shook his head. "What I know is that you're walking a dangerous line. The captain's already breathing down your neck. If you don't have something concrete soon, she's going to pull you off this case." Ethan's jaw tightened. He couldn't afford to lose Knox's support, but he also couldn't let go of the truth. "Then help me find the proof. We can't let her get away with this." Knox studied him for a long moment before nodding reluctantly. "Fine. But if this blows up, we're both going down." Miranda's manipulations deepen. That evening, Miranda met with Trevor Langston in her office. The corporate attorney was visibly unraveling, his hands shaking as he paced the room. "They're closing in," Trevor said, his voice frantic. "If they find out what I did..." "Trevor," Miranda interrupted gently, her tone soothing. "Take a breath. You're letting fear cloud your judgment." He stopped pacing, looking at her with desperation. "But what do I do? How do I fix this?" Miranda rose from her chair, crossing the room to place a reassuring hand on his shoulder. "You've already taken the first step by trusting me. Now, you must be bold. Act decisively, and you'll regain control." Her words were a lifeline, and Trevor clung to them like a drowning man. Miranda watched him leave, knowing he was ready to take the next step in her carefully orchestrated plan. Ethan's revelation. Ethan spent the night poring over case files, piecing together a timeline of Miranda's influence. He mapped out connections between her patients, noting the similarities in their confessions and behavior. The pattern was undeniable, but it wasn't enough to bring her down. As dawn broke, an idea struck him. Miranda was too careful to leave a direct trail, but her methods had a distinct psychological signature. If he could find a forensic psychologist to analyze the patterns, he might have the leverage he needed. He picked up his phone and made a call to Dr. Elena Raines, a respected expert in criminal psychology. "Elena," Ethan said when she answered. "I need your help. There's someone out there manipulating people into committing crimes. And I think you're the only one who can help me prove it. A dangerous alliance." By midday, Ethan met with Elena in her office. He laid out his findings, explaining the intricate web of Miranda's manipulations. Elena listened intently, her sharp mind quickly grasping the gravity of the situation. "This is unlike anything I've seen before," Elena said, her brow furrowed. "If what you're saying is true, this therapist isn't just dangerous, she's a predator. Can you help me build a profile?" Ethan asked. "Something I can use to connect her to these crimes?" Elena nodded. "It'll take time, but yes, we'll need to be thorough. If she's as cunning as you say, she won't leave any room for error." As Ethan left Elena's office, a renewed sense of purpose filled him. Miranda Wolf was a master manipulator, but even the most intricate webs had their weak points. He just had to find hers. Chapter 8, Shattered Illusions. Ethan Hayes felt a flicker of hope as he drove back to the precinct. Dr. Elena Raines' involvement brought a much-needed sense of validation. If anyone could help him connect the dots and bring Miranda Wolf down, it was Elena. Still, a heavy weight pressed on his chest. Miranda's manipulations were spreading like a disease, infecting not only her patients, but his personal life as well. His phone buzzed. It was Knox. He answered immediately, putting it on speaker. What's up? Ethan asked. You're not going to like this, Knox said, his voice tense. Trevor Langston is dead. Ethan slammed on the brakes, narrowly avoiding a collision. What? How? Suicide, Knox replied grimly. His wife found him this morning. Gunshot wound. Left a note blaming himself for the company's financial scandal. Ethan's heart sank. Trevor Langston had been one of Miranda's pawns. Another patient guided to destruction. But this time, Miranda had gone one step further. She hadn't just manipulated him into committing a crime. She'd driven him to his grave. I need to see that note, Ethan said. Knox sighed. The captain's already calling it an open and shut case. She's not going to like you poking around. Then don't tell her, Ethan said firmly. Meet me at Langston's house in 20. The aftermath of despair. When Ethan arrived at the Langston residence, the scene was eerily calm. Police tape cordoned off the perimeter, and uniformed officers milled about. Inside, the air was heavy with grief and silence. Trevor's widow, a pale and tear-streaked woman in her early 40s, sat on the living room couch, clutching a handkerchief. Ethan approached her cautiously. Mrs. Langston, I'm Detective Hayes. I'm so sorry for your loss. She looked up, her eyes glassy. Trevor wasn't himself, she said, her voice trembling. The past few weeks, he was different. Paranoid. Agitated. He kept saying he needed to fix things. But he wouldn't tell me what. Did he mention anyone he was talking to? A therapist, maybe? Ethan asked gently. She hesitated before nodding. Yes, Dr. Wolf. He said she was helping him see things clearly. Ethan's jaw tightened. Do you have the note he left? Mrs. Langston pointed to a sealed evidence bag on the coffee table. Ethan picked it up, scanning the handwritten scrawl. I failed. I let everyone down. This is the only way to make it right. The phrasing was chillingly familiar, echoing the confessions of Miranda's other patients. Ethan carefully handed the bag to Knox, who had just entered the room. She's cleaning up loose ends, Ethan muttered. Knox frowned. If you're right, then Langston's death wasn't just a suicide. It was part of her plan. Miranda's confidence. Across town, Miranda Wolf sat in her home office, sipping tea as she reviewed the news on her tablet. Trevor Langston's death was plastered across every outlet, the scandal surrounding his company taking center stage. Public opinion was swift and unforgiving, painting him as a corrupt businessman who had finally buckled under the weight of his sins. Miranda's lips curled into a faint smile. Trevor had been an excellent pawn, his downfall a masterstroke in her larger game. But Ethan Hayes was proving to be a more formidable opponent than she had anticipated. His relentless pursuit of the truth was becoming a problem, one that required immediate attention. She picked up her phone and dialed a number. When the line connected, her voice was calm but firm. It's time. Target his partner. Make it subtle, but effective. Knox under fire. The next morning, Knox arrived at the precinct to find an anonymous tip waiting for him. A printed envelope sat on his desk, unmarked except for his name scrawled across the front. Inside was a photograph of him shaking hands with a known informant tied to a drug ring. Attached was a note. Some secrets are worth keeping, detective. Knox's blood ran cold. The photograph was damning, though taken out of context. He had been working undercover at the time, but the image alone would be enough to raise questions about his integrity. Whoever had sent it knew exactly what they were doing. When Ethan arrived moments later, Knox was visibly shaken. What's wrong? Ethan asked. Knox handed him the photograph. Someone's trying to bury me. Ethan studied the image, his mind racing. It's her, he said. Miranda's behind this. Knox scoffed. How? She's a therapist, not a mob boss. She's whatever she needs to be, Ethan replied. And she's coming for anyone who stands in her way. Knox sank into his chair, rubbing his temples. What do we do? We hit back, Ethan said. Hard. The breakthrough. Ethan reached out to Dr. Elena Raines, who had been analyzing the psychological patterns in Miranda's cases. That evening, he met with her in a dimly lit office filled with books and case files. Ethan, I've been studying the confessions you sent me, Elena began. There's a clear pattern of linguistic manipulation. Miranda isn't just planting ideas. She's using a technique called embedded suggestion. Explain, Ethan said. It's a subtle form of psychological conditioning, Elena explained. She phrases her guidance in a way that bypasses conscious thought and taps directly into the subconscious. Her patients believe the actions are their own ideas because they've internalized her suggestions. Ethan leaned forward. Can we prove it? Elena hesitated. Not directly, but if we can find recordings of her sessions or testimonies from her patients, we might have a case. Ethan's mind raced. He needed a way to access Miranda's records without tipping her off, and he needed it fast, before she could destroy anyone else's life. A desperate move. The following night, Ethan and Knox staked out Miranda's office. The building was dark, its windows reflecting the faint glow of the city lights. Ethan had obtained a warrant, but the process had been fraught with red tape. If they didn't act now, Miranda might erase any evidence before they could seize it. Are you sure about this? Knox asked as they stepped out of the car. No, Ethan admitted, but we don't have a choice. They entered the building, their flashlights cutting through the darkness. Inside, the office was eerily quiet. Ethan began searching the filing cabinets while Knox hacked into the computer system. Minutes turned into hours as they combed through the space. Just when Ethan was beginning to lose hope, he found a hidden drawer in Miranda's desk. Inside was a stack of handwritten notes, detailed summaries of her sessions, complete with manipulative suggestions disguised as therapy. This is it, Ethan said, his hands trembling as he held the papers. This is what we need. But as they prepared to leave, the sound of a car pulling into the parking lot froze them in their tracks. She's here, Knox whispered. Ethan's heart pounded as he gestured for Knox to hide. They slipped into the shadows, watching as Miranda entered the building, her expression calm but focused. The game was far from over. Chapter 9, The Final Game. Ethan Hayes crouched behind a filing cabinet, his breath shallow as he listened to the sound of Miranda Wolfe's heels clicking against the tile floor. The rhythmic taps echoed in the otherwise silent office, each step a reminder of the danger they were in. Knox was hidden in the corner of the room, his flashlight off, gripping the files they had uncovered. Miranda paused near her desk, her keys jingling as she unlocked the top drawer. Ethan dared to peek around the edge of the cabinet, catching a glimpse of her serene expression as she sifted through the contents. She's looking for something, Ethan whispered to Knox. Knox nodded, barely audible. Probably to destroy evidence. We need to move. But Miranda suddenly froze, her head tilting slightly as if she'd sensed something. Who's there? She called, her voice calm but firm. Ethan held his breath, his mind racing. They couldn't risk a confrontation now, not without solid proof in hand. Come out, Miranda said, her tone unyielding. I know you're here. Ethan felt his pulse quicken. He signaled to Knox, motioning toward the back exit. Knox hesitated but nodded, clutching the files tightly as he began to move silently toward the door. Ethan waited a beat longer, his eyes locked on Miranda as she walked toward the source of the faint noise Knox had made. Suddenly, her gaze snapped in his direction. Detective Hayes, Miranda said, her lips curving into a knowing smile. What a surprise! A dangerous confrontation. Ethan stepped out from behind the cabinet, his hands raised in a placating gesture. Dr. Wolfe, he said, forcing a calm tone. You're working late. Miranda's smile didn't falter. I could say the same about you, though I doubt you're here for therapy. Ethan gestured toward the desk. Just tying up loose ends. Seems like you've got a few yourself. Miranda's eyes flicked to the open drawer, then back to him. I'm not sure what you think you'll find here, detective. But I assure you, this invasion of privacy won't look good on your record. Ethan smirked, trying to project confidence despite the knot in his stomach. Funny you mention records. I've found some interesting ones. Notes from your sessions, documenting the way you manipulate your patients into committing crimes. Her expression hardened, the warmth evaporating like steam. You're grasping at straws. You have no proof. Not yet, Ethan admitted. But I'm getting close. And now that I know what you're hiding, it's only a matter of time. Miranda's gaze turned icy. You're out of your depth, detective. You have no idea who you're dealing with. Enlighten me, Ethan said, his voice steady. Miranda took a step closer, her presence almost magnetic. You think you're the hero in this story, but you're just another pawn. Every move you make plays into my hand. Even now, you're exposing yourself, your vulnerabilities, your desperation. I don't need to destroy you, Ethan. You'll do it yourself. A narrow escape. As Miranda spoke, Ethan's mind raced. She was trying to rattle him, to break his focus and make him slip. But he couldn't afford to falter now. From the corner of his eye, he saw Knox creeping toward the exit, the files secured under his arm. I'll see you in court, Ethan said, stepping backward slowly. Miranda's smile returned, but it was cold, calculated. I doubt that, detective. I'm very good at covering my tracks. Ethan didn't respond. He turned and made for the door, his heart pounding as he slipped out into the hallway. Knox was already waiting by the car, the engine running. Go, go, go. Knox hissed as Ethan jumped into the passenger seat. As they sped away, Ethan glanced back at the building. Miranda stood in the window, her silhouette framed by the dim light. She didn't move, didn't react, just watched as they disappeared into the night. The evidence mounts. Back at the precinct, Ethan and Knox laid out the files on the conference room table. The handwritten notes were damning, detailing Miranda's sessions with her patients in chilling detail. Each entry was a masterclass in psychological manipulation, with phrases like, guide them to see the inevitable and plant the idea as their own. This is it, Ethan said, his voice filled with a mix of triumph and exhaustion. This is what we need to bring her down. Knox wasn't as optimistic. It's good, but it's not enough. These notes could be dismissed as speculative or even fabricated. We need corroboration, testimonies, recordings, something solid. Ethan nodded, his mind already working. Samantha Ortega. She's willing to talk, and her story matches the patterns in these notes. If we can get her to testify, it strengthens our case. And what about the others? Knox asked. The ones who aren't dead, at least. We'll find them, Ethan said. But first, we need to make sure Miranda doesn't slip through the cracks. Miranda's counterstrike. Unbeknownst to Ethan, Miranda wasn't idle. That same night, she met with a shadowy figure in a dimly lit cafe. The man was nondescript, blending seamlessly into the background. Exactly how Miranda liked her associates to be. She's unraveling, Miranda said, her voice low. But she's dangerous. The detective is relentless, and his partner is more resourceful than I anticipated. The man nodded, his expression unreadable. What do you need? A distraction, Miranda said, her tone icy. Something that will force him to look elsewhere. The man leaned back, considering. I'll take care of it. As he left, Miranda sipped her tea, her mind already calculating her next move. Ethan Hayes was a worthy adversary, but in her game, there was only one rule. The house always wins. The beginning of the end. The following day, Ethan received an urgent call from Knox. We've got a problem, Knox said, his voice tense. Samantha Ortega's been moved. What? Ethan barked. By who? Someone higher up, Knox replied. The paperwork says it's for her safety, but I'm calling BS. Someone's trying to bury her. Ethan slammed his fist on the desk. Miranda's reach was deeper than he'd realized, and now she was actively dismantling his case. But he wasn't about to let her win. Get me her location, Ethan said. We're not letting her slip away. Knox hesitated. Ethan, this is getting dangerous. If you push too hard, you could lose everything. I don't care, Ethan said. This ends now. As he hung up, Ethan stared at the files spread across his desk. Miranda's web was vast, but he had something she didn't, a growing determination to expose the truth, no matter the cost. The final confrontation was coming, and Ethan was ready.